the end of October in Chicago, it pretty much means it's event time. We had an amazing time with Dare Mighty Things. It was an honor to MC Dare Mighty Things again. I think they'll be back next year based on the big brands and companies that were there. Granger. I read the list like 15 times, so I should know it, but I think I've already blanked it out of my head. There was Ulta Beauty. There was Granger. I don't even know. Well, I'm missing a bunch of people in this thing. I'm not to mention like the presenters. There was NASA and all these really cool people. I got to meet the CTO of Ripple, who told me, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this to you, but he told me that I should continue to invest in Ripple. I'm not sure he said that just because that's good for them, or if he said keep investing in Ripple because there's something coming. I got to tell you, I'm a little over my crypto thing. Like all the little crypto craze. I'm not saying I don't buy into blockchain. I'm not going that far. But let's just say that my Coinbase wallet has been turned over into my Robinhood account now. Because, well, one, because the wife wants a house. And so I can't wait on crypto anymore. I got to make my money work for me. And the market is certainly not helping me, other than every time Elon Musk does something weird, the stock goes up, which is blowing my mind. And I'm pretty happy with. But anyway, that was just one event. So it was a very cool event. It was very fun for me to be able to MC that again. I hope we can do it next year. And then we took about, what would you call that? My guy Sam and I went across the street to the tavern and had a beer, and then headed over immediately over to the Chicago Innovation Awards, which if you've ever been to one, it was the 17th annual. For me, I felt kind of sad. It was the last one for Rahm Emanuel. You know, think what you will about Chicago mayor. For us in the tech community, he's been not just a friend, but he's been an amazing contributor. I don't think that the Technori and a lot of the companies that are on the show would be here, quite frankly, if we didn't have Rahm Emanuel's support the way that we do. The event itself was pretty awesome. For those of you who attended it, it was, I'm going to be honest, the intro with the helicopter, I think I leave that out next year. It was a little corny, but overall, I thought it was a sound event, great turnout. Congratulations are in order to 25 companies that won Chicago Innovation Awards last night, many of which got their start at Technori on the stage or on the show, including Cameo and Katie Lynch at Codeverse. Huge congratulations. Cameo, if you don't know what it is, check it out, cameo.com. You can download the app and have famous people basically sing a song or say whatever the hell they want to your friends. I used it for my buddy's 40th birthday. I had T.O., call him and do a "What's up, Turbo?" And he did an awesome job. I really enjoyed that. So big shout out to my buddy Steve Galanis. But then there's still more to it, right? So like I talk about Dare Mighty Things and those events, and those are about speakers. Those are about inspiration and learning from speakers. Very, very fun to see somebody who has been out of this, like in orbit, literally. And touch them, and not inappropriately, but like in a, you know, reasonable way, and then have them tell me a story about some kind of weird shit that happened in space. Like that blows my mind. Innovation Awards is a little bit different. This is more of a celebration of the successes that this community's had and over the last, you know, 20 years, the growth. And it's also a great time to catch up with a lot of the people who've not just been on the show, but like that we work with, that we talk to on a regular basis. And yeah, I mean, obviously there's conversations about innovation, but there's also conversations about business that's going on, you know, right now, and things that we're planning and working on. And one of my favorite conversations to run into, as you guys all know, is listening to the podcast, is a regular guest, is Vic Pascucci. Vic Pascucci has been on the show numerous times. In fact, he texts me, this is for you, Vic. He texts me on I would say every 48 hours or so to update me on how many people have viewed our recent episode on LinkedIn. I believe we're at like 5,700 or something right now. So keep watching that or listening to that episode, you know, or you could just wait like a week until Vic comes back on again. And you know, we could do this again and start the countdown again. But one of the things that was sort of a coincidence is he reminded me that, the CEO of Carly's, which is a big investment of Lightbanks, is going to be on this show. And I think, you know, we had Carly on before, and I spent the entire time talking about my love for leasing cars, but my loathe for the process, and just in general, like buying cars in general, and just like, I don't know, I think I went on a rant for like 15 minutes just talking about different episodes of where I went in to buy a car, and I basically played a game on the car salesman because I just couldn't stand him, and whatever. We're not going to do that this time. This is my promise. We're going to actually talk about Carly's and talk about the CEO, and we're going to talk about what they're doing now and in the future and how things work. And so when Hans Bodine came in and sat down next to me, well, stood up next to me, and we were getting rid of this conversation, I just thought it was a perfect time for me to remind those out there listening who are from BMW that my car, affectionately called Howard, my i3, is up for renewal at the end of August, and we certainly appreciate the sponsorship, and we would love to renew that sponsorship. So I just want to get that out there for BMW, for those of you listening. I believe it's the VP of Engineering who is our friend. I hope you're listening, and I hope you give me a ring. You know where to find me, at Katoon on Twitter and everything else. You can find us at Technori on everything social. So this is my conversation with CEO of CarLease.com, Hans Bodine. Hans. My friend, what's up? What's
going on? All right. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. And on my way over, I was over at the 600 West facility, and Vic told me the number keeps rising.
It keeps rising.
So he hit me up on that as well. And so there's a high standard that we have to reach on this.
So that's the question, right? Before let's talk about just operator to operator before we even get into the business part. Managing expectation is always I always feel like as a CEO, the number one thing is managing expectation, because you got to manage your own staff's expectation, you got to manage your customer expectation, and more importantly, usually, and especially in your case, you got to manage the investor's expectations. Vic is a regular on the show. We want to have him on more. But every time he comes on, the numbers get better and better and better, and I'm not sure, do I continue to let it just rise and say it's Vic? Or like where in there do I have to start managing expectations so that we don't have
It's always Vic. Let's just let it keep going up.
It's the vest. I think it's the vest. It's when Vic's got the vest on and he's rocking the guns, then I think it does well. If he's not and he's not in that great a mood, then the show, you know, maybe. Well,
but listen, I listened to the podcast and I just thought he had some great sound advice for entrepreneurs out there. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, his message was very clear that the gritty ones are the ones that make it. And I think he's absolutely right. In fact, he singled out our CTO,
yep,
Clay Johnson, for just hands on keyboard, heads down, executing. And you know, ultimately, that's what we need to do. And the companies that make it out there are the ones that we're all going to have limited resources, that use those limited resources and really just grind it out.
So he made
a great message.
To your point, he made an unbelievable identifying. I had a hard time identifying the terminology I wanted to use on a lot of shows. I've always said this like arbitrary BS where it's like, super vague. What am I looking for in a company? Well, I want a founder who has like that it factor, like whatever. It doesn't mean anything, right?
Right.
Vic had the one line that I thought crushed it. A light went off. I think all of our shows going forward, this included, is going to center on this. Unfair advantage. What is your unfair advantage? When we look at Technori, the unfair advantage is that for whatever reason, I'm able to turn on this stupid red light on a controller and just start ripping junk out of my mouth and it works.
Yeah.
It doesn't take any prep time as I'm late to this interview. Like, that's our unfair advantage. Every company, every founder, doesn't matter where it started. It could be, I have identified an unfair advantage that I can take advantage of and I'm going to build a business model around it. Or it could be, I started a business, I don't know, like I'm a good operator, but I don't know necessarily our long 5-10 year plan, but I think I do. And then they find an unfair advantage and then they hit the hell out of it. It doesn't matter where it starts, but every really good company, successful investment, if you're looking at it from that side, has some sort of unfair advantage that separates them, and then it's execution from there, and sort of all things are equal by and large, except for this one thing. What is it that CarLease has as its unfair advantage that you, as a CEO, feel like, I took this job because I know I can do this?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the thing for us is, so what we're building, and I think it's important to spend a little bit of time just giving you the background on what we're building,
yeah,
and what CarLease
is probably
a
good
about.
Idea.
So CarLease is an online leasing platform for consumers and dealers, quite frankly. So a customer comes to our website, they can pick any make, model of vehicle. We don't have a bias, right? We're not trying to guide people into one make or particular models of vehicles, right? So we give unbiased advice. They make their selection, they upload some information to our platform, they check out online and schedule delivery to a person's home or office, right? So I think you ranted about the process of buying a car. I think many people are in agreement with you, or leasing a car, right?
The lease thing is funny. So like, I want you to kind of double back on this part here. The lease, I think, so. And this is actually a really good segue for you to just go crazy on this, because I think there's a lot of change that people aren't paying attention to in the car world. It's not just Turo. It's not just the disruption of like who buys cars, whatever. It's how you buy them. It's the ability to have a subscription that's new, kind of a new thing and a new entrant to leasing, to all this stuff. There's just different things. The lease has always been this mysterious thing where the person who buys it, if you don't know what leasing are, you're like vehemently against it. And there's no real reason for it.
Yeah, and I think that's right. So first of all, in leasing, so leasing has grown dramatically. It's grown 60% since 2010, and I think it's because of what you say. People aren't looking to buy or invest in a vehicle. It's a depreciating asset over a long period of time, but leasing is mysterious. So our platform takes the mystery out of it, right? We show and are very transparent about prices of leases and how you get to the price of a lease. There's three main components. I won't bore you with the details, but we provide that transparency for consumers, and then just the convenience of home delivery, office delivery, right? Again, back to that process. The process is not the best for consumers. Okay, so that's what we're doing. Our unfair advantage, and I'll go back to your original question, which is our unfair advantage, really is the people that we have working in our company that have the background in this industry. So, you know, there are several, we have several competitors, and when you hear about them or read their stuff in the media, I mean, it's very clear they position the anti-dealer message very strong. Yep. And let's be honest here. While we know the process isn't the best, the dealers are the key to the supply chain.
Yeah.
They own the vehicles. They are the ones retailing the vehicle. So if you disenfranchise the dealer, you don't have a business.
Yep.
And so I think our take is, hey, we have this lineage and history in automotive. So I worked at Cars.com for 17 years. Yep. I was a part of the original group.
Would you call them a competitor in the space in this?
Not really.
I feel like Cars.com, maybe not so
much. It's used car listings, and of course they have a great editorial staff that writes great reviews on vehicles. I mean, it's a phenomenal service, but it's not that end-to-end platform. Yep. Again, home
who
delivery.
Can you say, like, who would be a competitor? I'm not trying to get you pitted against them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest competitor that we have, direct competitor, is called Honker. This guy's out of New York.
It's an
interesting idea. It's an app-based platform, so it's not web-based, it's an app. You know, they're doing some interesting things, but again, without the history in this business and in the industry, it's going to be difficult to compete.
Do you call would Lease Trader or Lease Swap, Car Swap, are those in that same space? Are they even going still? Like, I did my first car lease from Lease Trader, and I thought I was like the coolest shit ever because, you know, I figured out how to buy a car on the road. Are they still in the game?
Yeah, they're not. I mean, that's not one that's high on our radar screen. Yep. I mean, again, there's lots of competitors out there. But I'll just tell you, I have a lot of background in the industry. Built out a dealer network and sales network with Cars.com. You know, some great people in that business. And the chairman of our board, Mitch Golub, was part of the original founding team of Cars, or three of them, Alex, Mitch, and Bill. And Mitch is a part of that group. So we've done this before. We've built a business, a pretty big business before. Yep. And I think that in conjunction with Clay Johnson, who is one of the lead engineers and technology VPs behind Cars.com, we've just got strong, rich history, and we've made a lot of the mistakes before.
Let's talk about the differentiator.
Advantage, that's it. That's one of them.
Let's talk about the differentiator, or not even necessarily differentiator, just the what is. Like, I'm a consumer. Assuming that BMW or CarLease.com don't want to sponsor Scott and Technori's car, what is my option? I go to CarLease. Someone tells me go to CarLease.com. What am I going to get? What am I looking for?
So you're going to get on our platform. You're going to configure the BMW that you want. So what did you say you're driving?
Sweet. We call it Howard. Not named after Howard Tolman. You would think it'd be after Tolman, but it's not. So it's an i3. So the BMW i3 is their electric. It's not the i8 that's super sleek. It's the one, the little guy.
Right.
And I love the car. But
So you're going to search up that i3. You're going to configure that vehicle. We'll also make some other recommendations based on that vehicle profile, right?
Tesla Model 3 by chance.
Well, listen, I'm not going to go there. I love the people at BMW just like you do. But we'll serve... We'll give you the pricing or lease pricing for that vehicle, and it's based on we have really great relationships with our dealer network here in Chicago.
Yep.
So we have great financing terms, so we'll serve up a very competitive lease price for you. You select the time, you got to upload some docs to the platform, but you select the time that you want us to deliver to your home or office, and we make it happen. We've delivered cars in as short a time as 12 hours, right? Somebody's on our platform, next day car shows up. It can be that easy, or, you know, sometimes it takes a while. If you're building an i3 that has some unique features to it, it may take us a little while to get it, but that's how the platform is set up.
So I want to talk more about, if you can, about the sort of the block and tackling, if you will. You made a comment before about the fact that for those of the for lack of a better term, competitors. Because in this case, I feel like when you start talking about using the dealers as part of the system and the process, that automatically makes those people not competitors because they are running up a different ladder. Quite frankly, a ladder that's probably going to fall on them. But nonetheless, what do you see as the big advantage? And I think I know this, but like what can you share from the dealer side of this? Like those that are not using a dealer are trying to like take out the third party, you know, the middleman, and they're going to try to, that's how they're going to make their margins. They're going to say, we get rid of that markup, whatever. But then they seemingly are forgetting that they're going to have to store cars. They're going to have to supply cars. They're going to have to know inventories. Like they're going to have to buy and source cars, whatever. I don't know. How do you see the, I guess, how did you identify using the dealers as part of the process and not trying to shake them out?
Yeah, I think it's this is a great point. I'm glad you bring it up. So the dealers are absolutely huge in this, right? And having a good partner, I mean, we have several really good partners in Chicago that are key for us. And the sell for them is easy. I mean, they have a hard time finding good salespeople in this market, in this economy, right? And we become their best salesperson. So we're only contacting our dealer partner when we have a signed deal,
yep.
Which is very different than a lot of the other, you know, advertising that they're doing, which is basically lead gen based advertising. So instead of getting a lead or paying for branding or clicks or Google AdWords, like literally they're only paying us and they're only paying us when they get a deal. So I think that's the key advantage for what we bring to the table for them. We just make it easy for both sides. We make it easy for the consumer, we make it easy for the dealer, and that's what our platform does.
It's so interesting. I was going to say, this reminds me, it's totally different, but from a logic standpoint, I guess I'll put it this way. A couple weeks ago, we had our buddies from Weinster in. I don't know if you're familiar with Weinster. It's a company that should probably be in the LightBank portfolio if it's not already. It just fits, like, as far as the way they operate. But essentially, they do this, but for wine, and obviously it's a totally different, you know, spread. The margins are completely different. But the gist is, if I'm a person who likes wine and I like to drink a lot of it, but I also don't know what the hell I'm talking about, and so like I just buy random wines, I feel like an idiot when I go into random places and I'm like, can you pair this? Like, I don't know anything. So rather than feel stupid, I'd rather go online and have someone who I think is smarter than me pick it out for me. And then that way I can read off the list and look like I'm smart and enjoy wine. What they did was they recognized that if they wanted to get the middleman out, the costs of shipping wine interstate is insane. And the licensing and everything is insane. But if they could partner with all these tiny mom and pop wineries who could handle the storing of the wine, the shipping of the wine, everything of the wine, they could essentially say, listen, you guys will never have the volume selling being location driven, but I'm not. I can control my market via digital, you know, pay-per-click. So I reduce the cost of acquisition to client and they all buy wine and you ship and hold it. That business doesn't exist. The subscription order wine doesn't exist without those local, call it dealers. It's the same exact model to me.
Exact same model. And the other thing I would say that was in it for the dealer, so we have a couple of really great partners here in Chicago. It's incremental sales for them,
yep.
Right? So they're selling outside of their primary market area, right? There are lots of BMW dealers in Chicago,
yep.
And we're partnered with
just a couple. Perillo, I don't want to talk about how they have what they have, but Perillo seems to have drawn a nice little line in the line of the sea.
There are some great ones out there, and I'll just tell you, but they're a lot, right?
Yep.
So being able to tap into a source where they can generate incremental sales is huge for them. Another market that we're kind of in, as well as is the business leasing side of things. So not only fleet vehicles for buses, vans, that sort of thing for businesses, but also businesses that maybe have 5 to 10 need for 5 to 10 vehicles for their sales team or
yep.
sales reps, right? And there isn't a business right now that caters to that type, that small of a group, and we do. So a lot of the leases that we're generating on a monthly basis are for businesses.
What are other, so like this is, I feel like that is one of many other little niches,
right,
that you guys are going to be able to generate revenue from because of the operational cost of your business is not, it's tech. It's not in, like it's in sales, but tangentially. It's not me pounding the phone to an email list of Scots to try to get them to use this. So you have a lot of, what do you think are other kind of supplemental or, you know, side revenue sources you guys see coming in, like the fleet? Because that to me is a matter of not just opportunity, but it's a matter of like, we have a lot of data. We know like how to connect people and how to cut the margins better and connect people, basically.
Yeah, and that one, I tell you, the big players, and there are several big players actually stationed here. There's a big one called Wheels in the Burbs.
Yep.
That they do a lot of fleet management for major companies. They're just not interested in the small players. Yep. The economies aren't there for them. So it's a kind of an untapped niche that we're doing really well with right now. Another one, though, is, again, think of point of purchase. So when you're leasing your vehicle and you're signing up and you're finalizing the paperwork, we often get asked about insurance.
Yep.
Do you provide insurance? Can you give us insurance? And right now, we're just not set up that way, but I envision a time where in our checkout process, you'll have the ability to check off insurance. You'll have the ability to check off other aftermarket products, accessories.
You guys have the right investors for that model.
Yeah,
they've got about 8,000 insurance companies that they just invested in.
We do. That's absolutely right. But just think about it,
and a light bulb just exploded in my head as to like where this deal came together.
But think as well about things like Chicago winters are brutal, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people have rubber mat floor mats.
Yep.
I mean, there's a profit margin in that too. So at checkout, really being able to serve up these options based on geography is something that we envision for our company in the future.
I think it's a brilliant model. I think you're the guy to do it. I think this is one of those things where, you know, there's two, and we talked about this with Vic, I think, on the show, but there's like two ways to look at some of these founders that come through. Whether it's a founder or a CEO, it doesn't really matter. There are those that I think have a huge benefit. There are different spaces that there's a huge benefit for having no experience in. Ironically, other than like at some point you need a partner in healthcare that knows the space and knows like HIPAA and everything else and it's compliancy.
No question.
But as a founder, I've found that those in insurance and things that are not from that space have had the most success because they come into it like a normal consumer and are like, what the hell? Like, what a scam.
Right.
And they can figure out the better ways. Cars is not one of those spaces. Cars is one of those spaces where if you don't know the buy process, the supply management process, the expected amount of cars produced by said, manufacturer, whatever, Ford is going to make X number of cars available in the U.S. this time, sales are going to be this and this. If you don't know that trajectory, I think you're going to have a hard time.
I think it's absolutely a hard time. And yeah, you're always walking this fence. In automotive, you've got to serve the consumer, right? You've got to provide an amazing service to the consumer, the car buyer, car leaser, right? That person. But then you also have to serve the supply chain and understand how to walk that fine line. We learned that very well at our time at cars.com and just have been able to carry that over to CarLease.
Very cool. Where, I think we've said it 50,000 times already, but CarLease.com, where do people go to see it? Are you on social doing any of that kind of stuff?
Or? Absolutely. We've got a presence in social, Facebook, Instagram. Absolutely.
Very cool. Hans, I appreciate you taking the time. This is great.
Thanks
a lot. I expect to see you again here again.
We appreciate
soon.
You having me.
We
this
should just
great.
Have a round table. We're going to have Vic come in. He's going to sit outside. He can't be on this show. And we're going to have all the investments. We'll have Brad. We'll have Kyle. We'll have all these guys sitting on the circle. And we're just going to talk about the experience of working with LightBank. And Vic has to stay right outside and just listen.
Sign me up for that show. That'd be great.
I think he's going to like kick right through the Superman, right through the Jack Slade through the window. But you know, I think it'll be a good show.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Of course. You can catch this episode and more at technoir.com. Download the podcast wherever it is you get your podcasts, although personally, I get it on Spotify. I recommend you do the same. It's just easier. And of course, you can follow us on every social media platform at Technoir, and you can follow me with file all your complaints with me at Katoon on Instagram and on Twitter, and I don't even know where I'm on Facebook, but I'm there somewhere. Anyway, that's the show. Boom. That's a wrap.